Welcome to the All-in-One podcast for middle school language arts teachers. I'm Linda, and I've been a teacher for over 30 years. I can help you with tips, tricks, and motivation that will simplify your planning, streamline your teaching, and enjoy more free time. Well, hey there, it's Linda, and if you're listening in real time, it is May. You definitely know that it's the end of the year and the stress is piling up. As a newer teacher, I remember struggling to try to close out the year in a positive way, but with all there was to do on the administrative side, like report cards, packing the room, and things like that, I honestly didn't know where to begin. So I want to talk today about three main ideas. First, I want to talk about why we are feeling so overwhelmed. It's not as straightforward as you might think. Second, I'd like to suggest a few ways to tackle your to-do list. And lastly, I'd like to discuss what you can do with your students to provide them with meaningful end-of-the-year activities. I'm not promising it will be easy, but if you start with a better understanding of what the end of the year entails for you and your students emotionally and mentally, then you might have the motivation to serve them and you in a way that enables you to not just survive, but thrive during the end of the year. I'm going to get into an actionable list because I believe wholeheartedly that we need real solutions, not just philosophy or banter. But I do think it's very important to take a moment to understand why we are feeling so overwhelmed. It's not as simple as you might think. It really is more than just the workload. You're a teacher and you are used to working a lot. So why is the end of the year so difficult? Aside from the added administrative tasks, there are a few other reasons. For some teachers, they are dealing with being moved to another assignment the following year, and many are also dealing with having close teacher friends moving on. Some are retiring, getting different assignments, some are being let go. All of this makes the end of the year more challenging. Sometimes we don't even understand why we have such a heaviness in our heart, because we're so focused on trying to get everything done. Also, emotions are running high. You might be too busy to allow yourself to realize it, but there is a real sense of loss for many teachers at the end of the year. We give our all to these kids and then they leave. Even if it's been a rough year and you're ready for it to be over, my guess is that there is a part of your heart that feels this loss. Or you might feel guilty that you just want it to end. Either way, it's emotional, and emotions take their toll. Emotions are also running high for kids, and since we teach middle school, we know that kids don't always process their emotions in positive ways. They are also processing a sense of loss, even if they've not had a great year. They might be dealing with failed friendships, not meeting their parents' expectations, not making it on a team that they wanted to be on. And while they are looking forward to a break, it is still melancholy to watch another year come to an end. Kids are also tasked with having a lot of work at the end of the year. Yes, I know it's school, and yes, I know we all survived. But the stress of final exams, projects, social life, and such can really drown kids if they don't have the skills they need to manage it. Many of our kids don't have support at home, and many families don't have a value system in place where school comes first. I know in our school the demands to perform well have increased. I can personally tell you that the academics for our sixth graders are way harder than they were for me in sixth grade. I don't know how well I would have handled all of this, quite honestly. Additionally, we all know that middle school behavior can be an issue at the end of the year. Kids start acting out and doing things that they don't always do. I don't know about you, but sometimes I personally take offense to it. And really, after all these years, I should understand that these behaviors are a manifestation of emotions and not an attack on me. Yet I am sometimes too swept up in my own mess, and I become reactive instead of taking a moment to understand what my kids are going through at this time. Now, for many teachers, there is also the physical heat to deal with. And I don't know about you, but I do not work in an air-conditioned school. When you are trying to physically and mentally gear up to complete everything you need to do, the heat can really hinder that. And when you are emotional, being overheated absolutely makes emotions feel more intense. So I say all of this to simply bring it to your attention. I know that you most likely understand all of this, but I think as teachers, we don't always allow ourselves to feel our emotions. We just keep plowing through to get to the finish line. I truly think that this takes a toll on us. So what do we do? As a teacher, if someone told me, hey, slow down, take a deep breath, or meditate, it would anger me because I would feel that it was a simplistic solution, and I put that in air quotes, solution to a huge problem. It's like putting a tiny Band-Aid on a gaping wound. So I won't tell you to do that, but I will suggest that you at least give yourself permission to acknowledge your feelings and understand that your job requires you to do things emotionally that other jobs simply do not. And it's hard. It is very hard. Now that we have at least acknowledged our situation, the fact is that we are teachers and we need and want actionable ideas to get us through this time. And I do believe it can be done with a bit of planning. So let's talk action. I'd like to start by offering a solution to your 9 million tasks that you have a time stamp on. I'm talking grading, report cards, administrative items such as SGO, which is something that we do in my school. My solution is nothing revolutionary, but it's the only thing that works for me. I simply make a list of all the tedious tasks that I will need to do before the end of the year and spread them out in my calendar. But I break down the big tasks. I don't just write, for example, do report cards. I might write, however, put report card comments in for period one. It's a much smaller piece of that huge task. Then I assign it a time slot. Perhaps that time slot will be during my prep during period one. I try to be very, very realistic here. I don't try to take up every minute of a prep period. Rather, I aim for a smaller task that takes about 30 minutes, which gives me 15 minutes to do things like use the bathroom, have a quick snack, and things like that. I also fully believe in doing some work while kids are busy with their work. Don't feel guilty about this. Again, I don't have a full class period to do this, but I can assign some of my smaller, easier tasks during class time. And I know this might sound simplistic, but I really believe it is a mathematical problem. You have, for example, 20 hours of work to do and 20 days to do it. For me, I'm much better at doing a bunch of small tasks than a large one. And what I mean by that is that mentally, if you tell me you have to finish out the year, that overwhelms me. But if you tell me I have to put in comments for my report card for period one, I can easily handle that. So this way, when I'm doing my 30 minutes of work during a prep, I don't have to use my brain space and worry about everything else because I know that I have a plan for getting it done. I don't mean to make this sound easier than it is. I know it's hard. Believe me, I know. I have been doing this for 30 plus years. But it has to get done, and having a plan will decrease your stress level. Okay, so now, what about the kids? I have some thoughts here. Yes, I am that teacher who counts down the days until the end of school. And yes, some days I can't wait for it to end. But I would be really, really mad at myself if I work so hard all year to build a community and to do well with these kids, only for them to see me as a grumpy version of myself who only cares about finishing and assigning boring, busy work just so I can survive. I actually care about these kids, and I know you do too, or you wouldn't be listening. And I want them to have moments of joy, and I want to give them some positive experiences for closure. If I am just phoning it in at the end of the year, I'm going to regret it. After all, like we talked about earlier, the kids are going through a lot of emotions and have a huge workload as well. So I have five actionable ideas to help your kids thrive and not merely survive the end of the year. Okay, so let's talk about activity number one, which is review. Again, not a groundbreaking concept, but it's really important to take time to review these things that you have learned at the end of the year. It just brings a sense of closure to your class, and it helps kids to possibly prepare for any end of the year test. Plus, it's really nice for them to have a little pride in how much they have learned. You can review in many ways, and you can make it as boring or engaging as you'd like. I personally want my kids to feel a sense of excitement, so I like to do at least one game. And don't get me wrong, there are definitely times to have silent work at the end of the year. We all need it for our sanity. But playing some sort of game is going to make it a lot more enjoyable for your students and enhance the community that you most likely worked so hard to build this year. I did a review game with my students last year, and many of them commented on the fact that they couldn't believe we learned all of this in one year. I do have a language arts end of year game show in my TPT store, so check that out if you're interested. Okay, activity number two, end of year survey. I honestly believe that it is so important to have some sort of exit information when the school year ends. It can be beneficial to you when thinking about your next year. I like to keep mine very simple with what they liked, what they didn't like, what they learned from, and what they found confusing. I include this information for each unit I teach within the survey. I do like to introduce the survey to the kids, explaining it so that I'm telling them it's important for them to be honest and that I don't hold any of their personal opinions against them. And depending on your population, you might even want to do a quick review on each of your units. And I don't mean anything fancy. Here's an example. I do a unit on historical fiction, and so I brainstorm just a few bullet points about it. So, for example, my bullet points with my kids would be, okay, we learned about historical fiction, we focused on theme, we worked in book groups, we wrote a follow-up essay about the theme, and we celebrated by watching an episode of Little House on the Prairie. Then the kids will be more likely to give you some clear and honest feedback with just a few reminders of what we did in each unit. Aside from the fact that it enables you to get some feedback, it helps your kids to feel valued and to know that you think that their opinion matters. Okay, we're on activity number three, prepare an easy gift for students. I know not everyone is going to agree with me on this one, but hear me out. I like giving gifts to people I appreciate, and I do appreciate my students. However, being a middle school teacher, I teach anywhere from 80 to 100 kids a year, and I definitely don't have the budget to spend on each student, and even if I had the budget, I don't think I could dedicate it to that. So I have to be a little more creative. What I do is write a poem for each class that I teach and have it printed on a bookmark. Each of my classes has a different feel, and I'm sure you know what I mean. Some classes are meek and mild, Others are, shall we say, more spirited. As the year goes on, I give each of my students a name based on a band, song title, a movie, or something like that. So I've named my classes things like The Beastie Boys to Stuck in the Middle. And it's all in good fun, and they really do love it. Then I write a poem that encapsulates the spirit of each class. Now, I know writing poetry might not be your thing, and I get that. So use a published poem if you'd like. We also do a poetry competition in March that kind of mirrors what they do for the basketball season. And we have a winning poem, so it might be nice to turn that poem into a bookmark gift. Another idea is to use a song that you dedicate to each class. Use the lyrics, put it on a bookmark, and sign your name to it. And as an FYI, there are a lot of gift options on TPT that are very easy. I don't currently have any in my store, but if you're short on time, I would start by searching there. Personally, I would stay away from consumable gifts like candy, as it isn't a keepsake. Although not all kids are going to treasure the gift you give them, some actually will. I have students who come back to visit and tell me that they still have the poem I wrote for them, and it makes them cry. I love leaving my mark on my students' hearts like that, and I mean really, who wouldn't? Because that's what it's all about. Activity number 4, end of year memory book. Many kids get yearbooks and sign autographs, and that's a great thing to do. But aside from this, you could have kids capture their year in review in your specific class. It's easy enough to make a digital or printable version of your own. You can include things like their favorite unit, funny memories, and things like that. You can stylize it further to include some really language artsy type memories, such as describing the class using a simile or onomatopoeia. There is so much value in doing this. Reflecting on your class helps kids bring closure and a sense of appreciation for your time spent together. And if I'm being honest, I also love doing this because it keeps them occupied while I tend to my 9 million tasks that I'm working on. And if making a memory book sounds like one more thing that you just don't want to do, I do have a few different styles available in my TPT store, and I will leave the links in the show notes. And finally, activity number 5, end of year celebration. Now, before you start groaning, I know that middle school teachers are not always super excited to have an end of the year party. And some schools might do something that's dictated by them, such as a field day or a grade level party. If you don't have something dictated to you, or you do and you want to personalize it further, I suggest having a potluck celebration in each class. I create a simple sign-up sheet of the items I'd like. Kids sign up and bring them in. Of course, you have to consult your class allergy list when you do it. I keep it really simple. Mini bagels, cookies, water bottles, paper goods, and things like that. I like to do this in conjunction with my last unit. My last unit is always poetry, and we do a poetry share and have refreshments. It's such a nice way to celebrate our time together. I believe in doing this because I want my kids to know that I have truly valued our time together, and I hope that they do too. And P.S., it's really nice to have a little snack at the end of the year to energize you. Okay, so that was a lot. We talked about why we are all so stressed, and emotions have so much to do with that. We talked about making a plan for your myriad of tasks that must be completed by the end of the year. And finally, we talked about 5 specific activities that you want to include to bring a proper closure to your year for you and your kids. I hope this information was helpful. Be sure to check out the links that I mentioned in the show notes. If you have questions or comments, I would love to hear from you. You can DM me on Instagram at All in One Middle School. We can also communicate through email. You can visit the link in the show notes so that we can connect, and you will be the first to see new products and ideas that will simplify your planning, streamline your teaching, and most importantly, allow you to enjoy more free time. Thanks, friends, and I'll catch you in the next episode.